Did you know that the perfect snack exists that not only has the yum factor, because that's important, but also packs a real protein punch? I'm talking about Wonderful Pistachios, a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Now that's a snack you can feel really good about. It's hard for me to currently pick a fave because they have several flavors to choose from, including no salt and jalapeno lime options. But if I absolutely had to, I'd say I'm in my no shells, Wonderful Pistachios, sea salt and vinegar era. It's the ultimate snacking solution for when you need a quick, convenient, and tasty boost of pistachio goodness straight out of the bag. Whether you enjoy the ritual of cracking open each nut or you lean towards the ease of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has something for everyone. It's time to elevate your snacking game with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
So all that to say, that represents success for me. Mm-hmm. My goal is to not work. My goal is to work that land, to get in my garden, to be amongst my community members that, you know, I want to invite some people to live out there with me. But I don't want to be working all the time. I just don't. Success for me is reclaiming my time.
You are listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree. I'm the host of the show, as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care. Brown Girl Self-Care is a platform and space of intentional healing, joy, rest, abundance, growth, all the positive, beautiful things for Black women. Today, I'm going to be in conversation with one of my boos. Her name is Yolanda Williams. And you may know Yolanda or her name if you are a mom, if you believe in gentle parenting, if you believe in decolonizing your life. Her page is called Parenting Decolonized. And today we're going to be talking about capitalism, divesting from capitalism, redefining success, homesteading, buying land, all those things. So if you are a Black woman, you're sick of the 9-to-5 grind. You're just like so over capitalism and all these systems and the way they are systeming. If you believe in maybe a more natural lifestyle or just building, being a community with other Black women, this is the conversation for you. Yolanda, yeah. Go ahead and say, hey, hey, and introduce yourself.
Hey, hey, y'all. Thanks for having me, Bree.
Yeah,
it's so funny because I told Bree, like, you have never invited me to be on your podcast.
That's a bold-faced lie. That's a lie. That's a lie.
She was like, let me send her the link to the other post that we did. This is my second time that I've been on Brown Girl Self-Care, and I'm so thankful to be on this platform. My name is Yolanda Williams. I am the founder of Parents Decolonized. And what I do is I help parents, specifically Black parents, decolonize their parenting and learn how to be more conscious, intentional parent for the goal of raising self-confident, social justice-minded children. And a big part of my platform is sharing my journey with gardening and buying land. And that's why we're talking about that today.
Yeah. And where are you from?
I'm from Southern California, Long Beach.
Oh, 562.
I'm from Southern California, born and raised, but I am currently in Central Arkansas. Yeah. And my daughter, I have a 6-year-old daughter. I'm 43. And I'm a 6-year-old daughter and I'm a single mother. So this is another great discussion, because so many single moms feel like they can't do stuff because they don't have a partner. And I'm here to tell you, okay, I just bought these 3 acres of raw land and I don't have a partner and I have no intention of getting one. Okay. Mm-hmm. But what I do have is some amazing community members and sister friends. Bree is one of them that I hope to be able to like use this land to build with them.
Yes. When I talk about my community, sometimes on the podcast, I will say like my sister circle or my inner circle. I know I've dropped your name several times, but yeah, Yolanda is definitely one of the women strong, or I don't want to say strong, but yeah, you are strong and other things,
okay.
But one of the Black women in my inner circle. So just having someone to be able to talk to, like, this is why I stress, you got to have someone on your side that you can build with, dream with, cry with, be sad with, be joyful with. And Yolanda is one of those women that I have access to. And I feel very blessed to have known you and to know you, you know, for as long as we have known each other. This conversation, really, we want to center, obviously, always Black women. That should just go without saying. But specifically, again, not only moms, maybe you're single, maybe you're just recently out of a relationship and you feel like you don't have support. You feel like, well, what's next? I got to depend on this 9 to 5 coin, you know, to even live a decent life, which is not true. That's what they want you to think, but that's not true. Or if you're looking to just have a simpler lifestyle, realign yourself with nature, realign yourself with harmony, allow your body just to release some of this harmful, toxic ass stress that continues to just rise. We're also going to be defining what success and wealth is for us, because it doesn't have to be what the world tells you that success is. So let's talk about capitalism. Yeah. I know this is a dirty word.
Hate it.
I know. Let's talk about it. So go ahead.
I was going to say, as entrepreneurs, I'll be accused of all the time, like, oh, you hate capitalism, but here you are trying to sell something. Or let's get it straight right now. None of us are capitalists. Mm-hmm. None of us. Beyonce is a capitalist because she's a billionaire, right? Rihanna is a billionaire. They are capitalists. We are trying to survive capitalism. We exist in it and we use it in order to survive. But that does not mean that you are a capitalist. It does not mean that you are investing in capitalism. It just means that you're surviving. So I just want to get that out in the clear, because that gets twisted all the time. Like, oh, I'm selling things and I'm an entrepreneur and you're not a capitalist. You don't control anything.
I was going to say,
you don't control anything.
Right.
But
yeah,
yourself.
I was gonna say. Right. Yeah. It's just, and it's just, keep in mind that this is the system that we live in right now, right? And again, like you said, it's for many of us, it's about survival. I can tell you that if money were not an object, like, things would just be so much different for a lot of us, right? If the need and necessity to make money wasn't just something like this big thing
looming,
hanging over our heads every day. A lot of us, like, We are so burnt out from just this whole system. And keep in mind that capitalism is not anything that's new. Like, this country was built on capitalism.
Slave capitalism.
Right. In the back.
So we're doing that, right? We the way that we are trading our bodies and our mind and our labor just to survive, we're still in slave capitalism.
Right.
It's just different now. It's shifted. And the difference is that it feels that, like, we aren't, I don't know how to explain it. We're still in slave capitalism. Okay.
Right.
What I want us to understand is the whole point of it is to burn us out, is to keep us sick, is to keep us hopeless and keep us stuck.
Because keep us separated.
And to keep us separated. Because the more that we are those things, the less that we depend on the community, the less that we rally together and revolt. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we are supposed to be depending on capitalism, depending on consumerism, to replace the village. If you really think about all the services that we are using right now in our everyday lives, these are things that the village, that community generally would do for each other. Yeah. And so that's the kind of lifestyle I want to get back to. I want to divest from the idea that I need to be, I'm in my little house with my daughter by myself, and I need to go outside and find all of these things, these services that I have to pay for, mm-hmm. that are supposed to help me live an easier life. Because if you think about everything we're sold is to make our lives easier. Does your life feel any easier? No. Mm-hmm. It feels lonely for a lot of us. We are lonely
and hard.
It feels isolative. I don't know if that's the word, but it is today. It feels like we're isolating. It feels like we are stuck. And it feels like it's never going to get better for a lot of people. But, you know, what I cling to is the fact that we are living in the imagination of rich white men. All this is constructed. All of these things, these rules, these laws, capitalism, racism, all of it is constructed. So if it can be constructed by man, it can be deconstructed. And we can live differently, but we have to just start now. We can't wait for the systems to fall to start. We have to start now.
Yeah, these systems are not going to fall because it's too lucrative.
I think they will, but I think we just won't be alive to see it. I think they will. And that's my hope, because I have to hope that for my daughter and future generations. Yeah. And I feel like that's what we're fighting for and that's what we're working towards. And it won't, you know, if you think about the government, they're not going to give up anything willingly. There will be blood. Okay. It's going to happen. It's going to be a revolution. So that's why we just got to start now. The revolution can just start within you and your household and you in the community.
Yeah, I think I disagree on that one small part. Because I just don't, and maybe it's just, I don't know. I just don't feel like capitalism is going to go away. I just don't feel like it. I feel like we have a choice to, like, how we choose to live our lifestyles, which we don't have complete and total power in that regard. You know what I mean?
We don't.
But what we to do the things that we can do, you know, and so we can make things different like that way, and we can build communities around that. And what am I trying to say? Like, change can be made. Yes, for sure. I just don't, I don't know. I wish I had your optimism that capitalism will one day just be completely eradicated. I don't know. I just don't feel like it.
It's going to be far into the future. I'm a futuristic thinker. That's my number one strength. And I can, I really do see the shift that's happening in humanity and how we are a little bit more community centered and wanting to move away from the indoctrination of only centering romantic relationships and only centering the nuclear family and looking at how we can, you know, live in a more collective society. It will not happen in my lifetime. It may not even happen in Gia's lifetime, but I do believe it will happen. I mean, it's been how many hundreds of years since this country was colonized that slave capitalism has been a thing, you know? So it may just take that long, right, for it to be eradicated. That said, what we can focus on now, and that's what keeps people, and I hope I don't sound away by saying this,
no,
but
just say it.
The thought that it is hard and that it's never going to happen can sometimes make me feel hopeless.
Yeah.
So that's why I keep that in my mind. Like, I don't have to see that happen in order to know that it's going to happen, in order to work towards that happening. So what can I do now, right? In order to move that needle and to begin that revolution where I'm at.
Yeah.
And that's why I garden. That's why, you know, I bought this land. That's why I've formed, you know, all of us are together with the BFF collective.
Yeah.
And we continue to learn how to be in community with each other, because learning how to be in community is a practice, because we have been indoctrinated into toxic individualism. So we don't know how. A lot of us do not know what it means to be a good village member at all. And so we have to literally practice it all the time. And it is difficult.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you're making me think about some things, because the change part and being the change you want to see, I'm 100% for that. I'm gonna have to just stick a pin in the whole capitalism will one day just never exist ever. I really pray that is the case. I think it's gonna take a lot, including a lot of these, I'm just gonna say it, a lot of these old white men to die.
Yeah, I thought that too, until I saw their kids. They all got to go too. And that's why I said that there will be blood. I'm not, see, the thing is, when it comes to me, I'm a conscious parent. And I believe in nonviolence against children. I do not believe in nonviolence. And I believe that it will take violence. I mean, capitalism is a violent system. It dehumanizes, it kills. The goal is for us to die. And that sounds dire, but that's the truth.
No, that's,
and that's why so many of us do, right? Especially Black women. A lot of us die young. A lot of us die tired and you know, wary of the world. And we give so much and so much and so much. And people want to be at our eulogy talking about how much we gave, but they never talk about what the hell they gave back.
I was just talking about this in one of the last couple of podcast episodes, because like I've said before, a Black woman will just give and give and give from the deepest of her wells. And then when it's time for us to reap our own from that, well, it's dry as hell. There's nothing in there and no one's contributing. I need some water. No one is contributing to that well, but they love to take, or sometimes they don't even love to take, but that's just out of necessity. People will just take, you know what I mean? Cause they're going through stuff too.
Well, that's where learning how to be a community comes in.
Yeah.
I just posted a video because I did a mutual aid request this morning. My car, you know, my car is all broke down and ugly down there. And so I was like, I've been talking to you about posting this mutual aid request for a few days now. And finally this morning I was like, let me just do this because I need help. Like I don't have the money for this car.
Yeah.
And so I posted it, and within the hour it was overfunded. And I just had to be reminded that if I believe that community is the way forward, then I have to trust community is going to show up for me like I show up for the community. And they do. And they did. And
I
I have
love
to
that.
keep that trust, right? And I give to mutual aid requests all the time.
Me too.
So there's a reciprocity that happens that we have to also trust and know that, there's different ways of giving. And so when it comes to community and mutual aid and practicing this, we have to be, I saw someone say, we have to be willing to be inconvenienced and we have to be willing to inconvenience others. And that's a huge part of
That's
community that
the
people do
hard.
not. Oh my
That
gosh.
second
Because
part is
now
the
everybody's
hard
like, no is my answer. What is it? No is a complete sentence. And all
part.
these things that we say that we got to look at all these things that are floating around social media and how they invest in and gatekeep for capitalism. Because if you're always saying no and you never want to be inconvenienced, you are contributing to toxic individualism and capitalism. I'm just telling you that right now. If you don't want to ever help anybody, and I'm not saying pour from an empty cup. I'm saying you got it. You know what I'm saying? And you have some time,
I was
or
gonna
you
say,
have
yeah,
some money,
doesn't have to just
or
be
you
money.
have influence, like whatever you have, because we all have privilege in some way. What is that thing that you can help people with? A lot of folks don't want to be inconvenienced, though. So they are like, no, I'm just not gonna do this, and then expect community to show up for them. Absolutely, that's not how it works. You have to be willing to be inconvenienced. And you have to be willing to inconvenience others. And that second part is a big one, especially for Black women too, because we were told we've been indoctrinated to believe that we are not supposed to inconvenience others. We're not supposed to be a burden, that we are not supposed to ask for help, that we are not supposed to even pay for extra help, right? When I talk about the fact that I get my laundry outsourced, sometimes when I can afford it, I have like a cleaning service come in. I get women who are married who's like, my husband won't.
That is insane. That is
Like,
insane.
your husband won't what, sis? Because you work, you take care of the kids. He work, he take care of the kids. Neither one of y'all have the money, but you don't have the time. So why not spend the money, right? So it's like, what? I feel like our need to feel like we can handle everything is also what's killing
No, I don't even want to. Even if I could do all the things, which I can't,
us. Don't want to.
I
I
don't
would
want
like to
to.
nap. I would like to sit and do absolutely nothing.
I love having the convenience of someone doing my shopping for me and me paying them handsomely for that. I am a huge tipper. I tip for
Yeah, I
everything.
tip a
I don't
lot.
take that for granted. But just different things like that makes my life easier. I'm helping someone make a living here in California, especially because it's insane. But yeah, all the things that you just said, co-signing 100%. So I'm curious to know, before Yolanda became parenting decolonized slash homesteader slash gardener extraordinaire slash mama slash all those things, I want to know how capitalism affected your life and why, or what was going on in your life around that time when you were like, you know what, I'm done.
So I'm gonna be honest with you. I didn't have this mindset until after I had Gia, until after my daughter, because in California, I want to say before I moved, the year and a half before I moved, I mean, don't get me wrong, grew up poor, but there was a time between like, I think I want to say like the 2010 to like 2014, where things were just amazing for me, and I was, the bougie auntie who made a lot of money. My passport was getting stamped. I was, getting that D. Okay. I was traveling. I was partying. I had no worries. You feel me? Like, I was really just living my life like it was golden. With
I
no
love it.
children, right? And so I was like, cool. Like, I'm able just to live. And then my whole goal was to move to Belize and just be an expat there and work and live there. And so it wasn't until, so I got pregnant in like 2016, coming from Belize, y'all. I was in Belize, got pregnant. Okay. Now at this point, I was not working, and I was struggling very, very hard at this point, because that's when I had my first business, the Wonder Suit. That's how we met. And that business, I did not know how to be a business owner. It was such a good idea. I had such a big following. I did not know how to run a business, so it failed. I didn't know how to do it. And so I had run out of money and I ended up going to live with my friend in Rancho Cucamonga. So basically, I'm homeless at this point because I had a home, but I did not have my own home and I did not have any money coming in. So Gia's dad at the time, he was like, let's go on a trip. And I'm like, if you can fund it, I can go. So he paid for the trip, went to Belize, came back pregnant, girl. Then I ended up moving out here once I was like, okay, I'm gonna have this baby, because I wasn't sure if that was gonna happen because who wants to bring a child into the world when you're homeless and broke? But my called my mother and she's like, just come out here, move to Arkansas. You can stay here, blah, 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 we'll help you. And so once I moved here, and I had Gia. And I was slowly working on my business and slowly working on trying to figure out what I want to do. I came across two things. One was a show called, I think it was like how to be debt free or how to pay your mortgage or something like that on Netflix. And I saw a young man on the back of his family home build his home. And he talked about how he basically built the home back there and out of scraps that he had on the land. And he now is living for free. Now that like sparked something in my head. And I forgot what else I watched, but then I started thinking, like, I need to go in with my family, get some land, we need to build on it. And that's how we can just live simply and not be invested in this rat race anymore. So that was what sort of sparked the initial, like, because I no longer, having this kid who is autistic, I was like, I don't want to spend all my time working. I don't want to have to go get a 9 to 5. I don't want to feel tired and exhausted all the time. Like, I just want my time back. A big part of this journey for me is how can I reclaim my time? Because if you think about your time and where it goes every day and who it goes to, it'll piss you off. Like, really, you want to start thinking about it. You're like, God, I don't have any time for me or
Girl.
my kids, really. And so once I did that, I was on the path to where I am now, which is land ownership, where I can, I bought this land and my goal is to, be debt free. So I bought it in cash, owner financing, 3 acres. Actually, Brie and I sat and I made a whole like dream list up. She helped me like work that out in my head. So it was like 3 acres of land, owner financing. So I didn't have to go through a bank and get my credit ran. Close to my other friends out here who have a 15-acre farm and close to my family. And it hit all those things. And so I purchased this land. The full price of it was $40,000 out here in Central Arkansas. I put down $12,000 because I run a conference every year. So I had this big influx of cash. And I was like, either I'm gonna eat this away or I'm
Oh, eat it, all
gonna
the
this bitch meat. So I got $12,000 down. My mortgage is $483 a month, and my property taxes for the year, $20. Okay.
What? Wait. Record scratch.
Yeah.
You mean $20 a week?
For the year, I'm in Central Arkansas, and that's the thing. That's what I
That
was
is
telling
so
someone. I was
crazy.
like, "There's no way if I was in California, I would be
I
able to do
know.
half the stuff that I'm doing out." Also, when you think about the way you want to live, you also have to ask yourself, is where I'm at conducive to this lifestyle that I want to have? Because I didn't think I would ever be back in Arkansas, ever. I lived out here for a little bit when I was a child and I hated it. Hated it with a passion. And so I was like, F Arkansas, I'm not moving back. F that country ass place. But now that I'm here, I can't even conceive of going back to California. Like, I'm so much happier here. And I can afford to live here. The air is clean. There's green everywhere. There's no traffic. Like, there's no like noise pollution. Remember, we talked about that. And so, buying this land has represented for me a lot of freedom and a lot of security that I never really had before. Because I grew up in Southern California, but all over Southern California my whole childhood. And I'm saying all this to say, like, it can sound, a single parent, I was trying to figure out how am I going to do this? And I really did just visualize like me going out and getting this land. And in the area that I am in, the land that I bought, I have been driving around that neighborhood for years. G
That's
and I started
crazy.
taking drives in 2020. I feel like I'm talking a lot, so I hope that's okay.
No, go ahead. I'm
Okay.
like, go take your time. Go ahead.
She and I, my daughter and I got COVID in 2021, actually, in January, and we couldn't leave the house. So she would just grab my keys and was like, we got to go. We got to get out of here.
Yeah.
So we would just start taking drives, and that became a thing. We just started taking drives, and I happened to find this little, it now it's paved in asphalt, but before it wasn't, like little side road. It led me to this amazing country ass space, like rural area, but that was really close to where I live now. And I would drive around that area, just meander, just find side streets. For years, I did that. Every Sunday, we would grab a cinnamon roll and take that street. And I would just drive and visualize. And sometimes I would actually be like heart sick because I just wanted it so bad to live like that, that I would be in the car crying. And she's back there like, what the hell's going on? Because I just wanted it so bad. And so when I found this land, I went down when I saw the listing on Facebook Marketplace, y'all, and it said owner financing. And I sent, a message, and they were like, click the Zillow. So I clicked the Zillow and I got a realtor, and they were like, drive down this street and here's like there's no address.
Yeah.
And so when I saw where it was, I immediately was just like, okay,
This is
this is
it.
crazy. Because it's on the same street that I've been driving for years now and
Yeah.
visualizing. And it's everything that I've been asking
Not a
for.
coincidence. There are no coincidences, but
There
anyway, continue.
aren't. Like we can make these things happen, right? With by the grace of God and by and with our like our minds. Like I visualized what I wanted. I wrote it down, and I was very, very intentional about always focusing on not on the how. I couldn't anymore because that was what made me heart sick. I was so focused on how I'm going to do this. I just started focusing on the end result and visualizing what that looked like. And so yeah, it's raw land. I don't even have an address. I have to create all these things from scratch, which is very exciting, but also expensive.
I was
So I'm
gonna
just
say.
taking it one project at a time. And I'm still in my condo, but while I'm here, I'm learning, how to garden. I just finished my 2024 garden. I'm learning how to
She has an
preserve
awesome
food.
garden, by the way.
And it's in front of, it's a retainer, like in the retaining wall of my condo building.
Look, let me tell y'all, Yolanda does not care, okay? Because she will build a garden
Yeah,
wherever she finds some land, even if she don't own it, okay?
because I sure don't. They were like, the neighbor was like, I didn't know we could do this. I was like, I didn't ask permission.
Yeah.
Why would I do
Sometimes we
that?
don't do that.
I'm not doing that. I'm not asking permission. I'm just going to ask forgiveness. And I'm not going to, even when you tell me to take it out, I'm not. So, because that's the revolution. Like if you go and follow every single rule, you'll be stuck. I'm sorry. I don't follow a bunch of rules. All the rules are fake to me. You got to tell me not to do it, and I still probably will do it. It's probably why G is so anyway. So, because she showed on me listening. So, all that to say, that represents success for me. My goal is to not work. My goal is to work that land, to get in my garden, to be amongst my community members that, I want to invite some people to live out there with me. But I don't want to be working all the time. I just don't. Success for me is reclaiming my time.
Yeah, for sure. It literally not exactly the same, but same mindset. Like, I definitely do not want to be working. And I've talked about this before, but it's just like my support, for example, comes from, it doesn't come really from my community as far as like getting something consistently, when people are able to bless me with that, it comes from like the listenership part, I guess, of my community. So it's different. And so the only way I'm able to earn money at this point, or the only way I've been able to do it up to this point, is just to monetize through the ads. But I know that, like I've said, I don't just take any old kind of ad, number one. And number two, it's just like, I want to be able to do things for the most part for the, not for the necessity of it all the time. And there's a lot of necessity, like I've got to do X because I got dot dot dot. That's not the type of life that I want to have. If I want to have ads, great. But it would look different for me if I didn't have to worry about the money. And something that you said that is just like, yes, is that obviously every state's different, but especially coming from California, baby, and this money, all right, my rent alone. Just the rent to even be able to say I exist in California is over. Well, I just got a rent increase that starts in July, so I think it's going to be over $1,700 a month. just for the rent. And that's not even the most expensive rent in California,
It's
but it's
truly,
still expensive.
but it's expensive.
Right.
I pay $888 for a 1500 square foot condo with parking.
And I have a 1500 square foot, not condo, townhome, same thing, townhome. And I'm paying more than twice or about twice as much. That's just to exist in this state. And so, as you know, and I've shared on the podcast before as well, like I really feel in my spirit, my spurt, I feel in my spurt that it's time for me to cut ties and it's time for me to move.
You know, I've been telling you to come out
I was
here.
Say, and what, what you don't know is that Yolanda has told me many a time, come on down to Arkansas. I got some space for you. And so as she builds this land, because I'm not ready yet, but as she is building out her land and giving me like little updates and stuff, not only am I hyped for her, but it allows me to also continue to be hyped with this vision that I have for my life. Because I know that it's possible. And I really, for me, and maybe this is the same for you too, Yolanda, for me, I feel like it's just, it's not more so that the how, but me being able to just lean into my faith no matter what.
Have you ever had a season in life where you just went nuts with credit cards? Listen, we all make financial mistakes, including me, and there is no shame in that. You are worthy of wealth and abundance, okay? So let me share a tool with you. It's called Kickoff, the number one credit building app that I recommend for those of us that need to hit the financial reset button. The biggest thing I noticed with Kickoff right away was how easy it is to sign up. And you can do that literally right now from your phone and get started immediately. Users with credit under 600, just so you know, increased their credit by an average of 30 points in the first month. So join over a million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for a dollar. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to kickoff.com/self-care today. That's kickoff without the C. Get kickoff.com/self-care. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/self-care to activate offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 30-point increase in first month based on Equifax Vantage Score 3.0 changes for Kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. I absolutely adore Osea Girl. Let me tell you why. So I remember those times when I was a little girl and I got to go to the beach in the summertime. The smell of the ocean air plus the sun on my skin, like all of it felt like a balm for my little spirit. And so with notes of lime, mandarin, cypress, grapefruit, and mango, Osea's Undaria Algae Body Oil instantly takes me back to those sunny days because that smells like summer to me in a bottle, which instantly lifts my mood. But it's not just about its scent for me, though. Osea's Undaria Algae Body Oil is clinically proven to improve skin elasticity and deeply moisturize, leaving skin soft and feeling more toned. It gives you that post-vacation glow, so even if you can't get away this summer as much as you'd like, your skin can still have the glow up it deserves. Osea is a clean, soothing part of my routine that I cannot go without. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SELFCARE at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use code SELFCARE for 10% off.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
In the vision, leading to the, it feels so big. Like the things that we dream about, the things that we visualize, and it feels so big and it feels so different than I feel like a lot of people are thinking when it comes to success, when it comes to simple living. You know, we're part of, or you may not be, but I am part of all these gardening groups. And there's a lot of people who want this, but the problem is that what they visualize is something so grand, is something so big. And listen, I'm a big dreamer. I dream really, really big. But I also encourage anyone to just start small and then gradually increase, right? You ain't got to start with 15 acres. You ain't got to start with 3 acres. You can start with a half an acre. Do you know how much an acre is? It's about the
size. No, I don't.
It's about the size of a football field.
Yeah.
And so that's a lot of land. I mean, even it, 3 acres to me, because I really wanted like 15, I had to get to into my head, that's actually a lot of land for just you and Gia, you know? So it's like, start, you don't have to start so big to where you start to feel discouraged that this thing isn't going to happen. It's like,
Yes.
start small. You can even just start with, I don't want to be tied down to an apartment building anymore. So I'm about to get me an RV and go on the road and figure out what that looks like, and stack up my coins. That's so many people's journey right now. It's not easy, but it's like, choose your hard, because it's hard living how you live now. So basically, you're just going to be choosing which hard you're gonna choose and go with that thing. And I'm choosing the hard, turning raw land into a family farm. Now, I could have waited and saved money and actually bought, something with a little house on it, and saved me some time. I wouldn't be saving any money, because I would have had to, again, I'm paying $40,000 for the whole thing. We're completely just raw land. Ain't nothing on it but trees and bugs. You can also go and spend $140,000 for it to be cleared, for it to be, have a home on it, for it to have utilities on it. So it's basically like, what are you going to do? These are choices that you can make, but they're not, I don't know, they're not, to me, they're not hard choices. I just chose my hard. I would rather spend money on the back end than in the very beginning. And just being able to have the security of knowing, like, if anything, like, if I really was just like destitute, I could sell that land. I would get double than what I paid for, because that's what I would charge. And then go out and get me another slice of land. But at the end of the day, I'm really content with this path that I've gone down. And I'm super excited, just because I do see how inspirational it is for other people to see one person do all this stuff. Now, don't get me wrong, I will not be doing anything alone, okay? I got back problems. I will not be out here doing all the clearing work and all that stuff. That's not me. I hope that, and community has always showed up. I already said, here's money for the down payment. Here's money for you to get my culvert installed. Here's someone posted, like, let me know when you have a work day so we can come down and help you. Like, those are the things, that's how we co like that's how we help each other, because they know that that space is not just for me and my daughter. That's gonna be a community space. I'm not a selfish person. I know that I don't need that much space. And so what I want to do is use part of it to help other Black single mothers in the community, and to have my friends live there. I'm trying to Golden Girls it up with you and Danielle and some other moms, because why not? What I need for.
We don't have to start in this huge, impossible way. Some of the things that I wrote down that I thought it was like, just like you, start. And she's always encouraged me to do this. But y'all, like I said, I'm scared of bugs. So that's something I got to work through. But like starting a small garden, taking some herbal classes, become an herbologist, farmers markets, they're huge in California. I don't know what the situation is like in Arkansas, but same. So yeah. Farmers markets are amazing. They have some of the best stuff you could ever buy, and the price is just insane, especially compared to like grocery stores and things like that. So hit up your farmers market on the weekend, y'all. Even like join a credit union that supports like local community versus like these raggedy banks that all they want to do is take and take and take and give you nothing for the money that you are trying to hold on to. You know what I mean? And then also, and you've talked about this, like bartering, skill sharing,
For
that kind
sure.
of stuff. So it doesn't have to be like this huge thing. There are definitely ways to start if you're looking at, again, simple or natural living or divesting from capitalism or just building a support system or community and being a good community member, like you said. So there's ways to start. And it doesn't have to be necessarily buying a 3 acre plot of land or buying any land or doing really anything. You can start in the smallest way possible in a way that makes sense for you. And then once you get kind of like confident in that, and you'll see like, oh, this was okay. You start to feel in some kind of way, or you seen that's easier than you thought, or that things are just starting to come together in that part of the journey, then you can just go on to the next thing and then the next thing. And that's how you build. It doesn't have to just be like one major step.
You'll notice when you start doing it, it does get easier to do. There's something also called a community supported agriculture, a CSA. And it basically, you are helping a farmer, fund their harvest, right? So it's a membership, and they have them all over the country. It actually was started by the first CSA was started as a Black man. I forget his name, but Fannie Lou Hamer also within the Black community. She was like, we need to support Black farmers. Yeah. So find a CSA, because what your money helps that farmer grow their crop, and then you get a harvest, right? So, and you get to eat seasonally, and you get to taste. Okay. Oh,
tell them about the tomatoes. tell them about the tomatoes.
It's not just it's everything. And that's what, honestly, that is little things that can radicalize you and make you like just change how you think about stuff. Mm-hmm. Because the first time I grew my own tomato and I bit into it, I was like, what have I been missing my whole life? Oh. Because tomatoes taste like disappointment and oppression from a store and water. Yeah. And so when you bite into like a farm fresh, homegrown tomato, the flavor explosion is crazy. Like, it's so good. But strawberries, like it's strawberry season out here, and tasting like the strawberry, like I picked some up one time. I picked up a whole flat of strawberries. G and I went through that flat so quick.
So easy.
I'm in the car just eating them with the green on, because you know the green is actually edible. Because that's how good it was. And it was all red all the way through. So when you start to like experience things, the actual taste of food, the actual variety of food, because what we get in the grocery store is about this much.
But there's so many foods out there. So many varieties of apples and berries.
That you just don't get to have.
Tomatoes.
The thing is, if you can't grow, you can see if there's a community garden. If there's a CSA, you can support farmers markets. If you can't grow your own food, there are ways for you to be in the community that is growing food for you to participate in that. So that's what Bree is saying. Like, it doesn't have to be where you are the gardener. If you don't have the space and you don't have the time, then
are you scared of bugs?
Bugs are a part of life. You got to get over
it.
As I ran from a butterfly the other day,
girl.
But you know, there's ways for you to be a part of it. And, you know, sometimes I get people who want to remind me of how hard life is. Mm-hmm. I get a lot. So I'll be dreaming out loud, you know, that's what I do on social media. And someone would be like, well, you can't replace your whole grocery bill. A, did I say that? The answer is no. Mm-hmm. And B, I always push it back. I'm just like, what made you do that? Because what makes you try to humble somebody in their dream is you not fulfilling yours and you feeling away about where you are in your life. Yep. So I always ask them, like, what made you write that to me? Because why would you think that I, on 3 acres of land, I'd be able to completely not use the grocery store? Like, that's not possible. I still need grains. Even if I make my own bread, I still can't make the flour yet. Okay, something I hope to do one day.
The meat until you process them chickens.
I want to one day. It won't happen anytime soon. So it's just like, I'm still going to need the grocery store for paper towels and toilet. What are you talking about? No one said I was doing that. What made you try to humble me in this moment? Because we all do this, but we are not cognizant of it. We're not cognizant of how we show up for other people and how we might stomp on somebody's dream. And sometimes we don't even mean to do it.
Yeah.
We want to be the cautionary, like, okay, be careful, because when we are doing something that is big or unusual, our fear kicks in and our brains are telling us not to do it. Mm-hmm. So we are like, hey, don't do that. And so we might become that person that's always doing that. Right. So you got to think about that. Like, is that you? Are you someone who's always like, no, you gotta be wary of this, that, and the third. And I thank you. Thank you for looking out for me also. Mm-hmm. How do you think I didn't think of that already? Mm-hmm. I promise you, when you're this far along and you've been dreaming on something for years, it's probably well thought out. But I appreciate it, and I don't take it personal, but I want people to think about why they need in that moment to pull you out of your dream state and push you into reality. Because reality fucking sucks. And I like to sit in my dream state sometimes, because that's where my happy place is while I'm trying to, you know, exist.
Yeah, I think some people do it intentionally, but for the ones that don't, it is just that fear. You know what I mean? Especially if you've struggled for so long, or you've tried different things and they just weren't successful, or you've you know, just different reasons. So some people, I think it is intentional, but some people it's definitely not. So what is the name of your farm?
So I named it the Wild and Free Family Farm. I don't use the word homestead because there's some really, you know, with the indigenous community, some really terrible history with that word. So I didn't want to use that. I just called it a family farm, a farmstead, homestead. All these actually have meanings to them.
Yeah.
And my goal is to create food for obviously my daughter and I and my family and whoever's living there, but also food for the, you know, there's a couple free grocery stores out here, not stores, a free like community fridges. So I would love to have that community fridge. I would like, so I want to have like a little stand where folks can just come and buy and get free food. Food is a human right. And I hate that it's not available to everybody, you know? And so part of what I want to do with this farm is help grow food for the community. But I called it Wild and Free because that's what I want to be. Mm-hmm. That's what my daughter is. She is wild and free. And I have to constantly work to not mess that up for her, to not be the person that pulls her out of that. It's hard because, you know, as a young child, I wasn't able to be wild and free.
Right.
You know, Gia be climbing trees and scaling the damn staircase thing. Like, I was like, what are you doing? She always climbed on something. And I don't want her to ever lose that. I love that she is fearless, that she's wild, that she has all this freedom, that she loves nature. We go to the park, first thing she want to do is pull off her shoes and go stand in the grass, like, and then go hug trees. Like, that's, she's who this land is made for. And I wanted to, the name of it to encapsulate just like my hope for myself as well as her, because there's a thing called rewilding. A lot of us are just, I'm from the city. So it wasn't a wild, it was concrete everywhere, you know, even in Long Beach where it is pretty green. There wasn't a lot of like, there's a lot of parks, but it wasn't, I don't know how to describe it. It wasn't
there's a difference. I know what you mean.
It's wild out here.
Yeah.
So, and I want to get some of that wildness back in me. I want the wildness in me to recognize the wildness in her and to allow her to be that. So yeah, it's called Wild and Free Family Farm. I do have a Facebook page. I actually have a Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok page. And I'm trying to be on YouTube to just show the process of what it takes on this journey, because it's not an easy journey. Mm-hmm. Like, I did choose a pretty hard journey to be on. And it's not cheap. But I'm hoping, you know, to get some grants and some community help to help me grow this farm. But either way, little by little, we'll get there. You know, the goal is legacy. And we, you know, a lot of people will talk about generational wealth, and they're only talking about money. But when it, you know, we got to reclaim land too. Our ancestors worked this land, and I am all about indigenous land back. But what that really means is stewardship and sovereignty, right? But the descendants of enslaved people, we need to be getting some land as well. Because what I also hope is that when she turns 18, she's able just to build her little house and be completely debt free. And what I really hope is that she doesn't have to work like how we had to work, that she gets to explore what she wants to do in life, that she just gets to figure out what her passions are, because everything is done. She got food. She has a house. The house has utilities from the sun, you know, and from the sky, water from the sky, rain collection. Food is being grown. She has a built-in village to help her with things. What is she working so hard for? What are you working so hard for when you have all of your needs, your actual needs met? That was the question I kept asking myself. If I have my land with the house that I built, no mortgage, and I'm able to collect rainwater, and I'm able to harness the sun, and I'm able to grow my food, what am I working so hard for? Why would I need to work so hard?
I was going to say, it's like, who would I be without all this shenanigans?
You know, land, and that's not easy, but you're doing you. No, you're living your life. Different. You're working, you're cultivating, you're stewarding. I'm not giving away my time to somebody else. I'm giving my time back to me and my community and my daughter. So that's how I want y'all to look at, like, your goal. Like, what will it take for you to divest? What does that look like for you to reclaim your time? Because if you, again, if all your needs are met and you don't have a mortgage and you don't have rent and you're barely paying bills because you're able to harness it and your food is growing in your front yard. Think about how much time that frees up for you.
Yep.
Because farmers aren't working. If you're a small family farm, you're not farming that all day. It gets too hot. You're usually going out there, you're doing all your things in the morning, and then you do some things at night. The day is yours because it's
Yeah.
too hot to be outside generally. So the day is yours. And what are you gonna, you know what I'm saying? Like that to me, it just makes me feel that's what I'm working towards. That makes me feel hopeful. That makes me feel happy and really just ignites something in me for Gia because she'll be able to really just take all of that effort that I put in on the front end. And it's she don't have to she won't have to do all that. It's hers. That to me is generational wealth. Well, she doesn't have to get it out the mud. It's already there. And so many of us think that our kids need this, that, and the third. My kid needs to not have to work like me. Don't want her to have to work like me. I want her to have an easy life. I want her, I want, I wish her ease. I wish her just peace. I want her to be able just to me like wake up and not be like, okay, what bills I have to pay. I want her just to wake up and be like, oh, I hear the birds. Let me go outside and just check them out. Which birds we got today? Like, I wish for her just a really precious and easy life. And she won't be able to do that without me putting in work right now. That's why I'm doing it.
But not only putting in work, but also you doing those things for yourself as well and modeling that, which you obviously do, you know, because we deserve that too.
We deserve it too. I want to wake up. And for the most part, I've already started cultivating that life now. So that's what I'm saying. Like you've been saying this too. Where you are, you can start to cultivate certain things in your life. I drop my kid off from school because I work for myself. I'm able to come home and sit down and I'm not rushing off to anything. I'm able to say on Mondays, I'm not doing a whole lot of hard work on Mondays. I'm not doing it. Right. Because weekends are hard. But Mondays roll around and I'm just like, okay, the house is quiet and I can sit for a minute. I have a small container garden. I'm starting where I'm at because what I'm hoping is that me starting with these mindset shifts and some of the actions that I'm taking, once I'm on this land, I'm not trying to learn how to do stuff. I've already got some of the skills and some of the mindset shifts that I needed to make to be there. You don't want to wait till you're already there to start to make shifts because it's going to be so much harder. Where can you start now? What does that look like for your life? If you do want a garden, but you can't, get you an aero garden. You can indoor garden. There's you can just have herbs on your windowsill. Like you don't garden just means that you're tending to plants. It doesn't mean that you have a whole lot of them. So what does it look like now for you to start making these changes if living this way is something that you want to do?
Yeah, I'm gonna actually get that planter that you showed me on
Good.
Amazon because it's 50% off right now. That's starting small.
That is
And it's
starting.
perfect for me.
Yes.
Because I'm already overwhelmed.
Peanuts.
Sometimes you'll get overwhelmed by all the things. You don't need that.
No,
Just give me
start
that.
small.
Yeah, start
Start with
small.
ease. If you want ease, figure out how to cultivate it in your
Yeah.
life right now. What does that look? And the thing is, we get stuck and we want all these everything to be easy. Everything ain't gonna be easy. But so where can you cultivate more ease? That's why I send my laundry out. Because I said, self, you don't like to do laundry. You don't like to even put it up. I don't have a washer dryer here, but when I did have one, you know how often I had to rewash clothes because I would keep them in the damn washing machine, just wasting money and wasting detergent.
Sometimes you
You know,
forget, or you
I
just
not
don't
only did I forget, I
want
didn't want to do it. So
to
I was
bother.
like, it's $1.50 a pound at the Fun Wash. It's got nurse called Fun Wash. I'm dropping it off and I'm budgeting that, you know, I'm putting that into my budget. And that's it. I drop it off, it comes back washed, folded, and separated into like my daughter's clothes and my clothes.
I love that.
Come
It's
on
the
now.
ease for Black
It's
women
the
for me.
ease. Can I use my? I grew up, we couldn't use dishwashers even when we had them. Mom was like, you gotta use why? Why Why do we do that? Why do
I think
we
it's because
indoctrinate into that?
they had it hard, or I'm generalizing. They had it hard. That means we gotta have it hard.
Exactly. Can we stop that shit? Because if you got your kids need ease too. Do you want them to always be toiling, to always be working? Can they sit down? Can they have a time off? You know, summer rolls around and parents want to turn summer into summer school. Let the kids
Thanks to
breathe.
me. That was my upbringing.
Them kids, just leave them alone for a minute, man. You know, introduce them to the thing. If you are somebody that's like, I want my kids to have ease, I want them to not have to get out the mud, you got to start practicing that for them. You got to help them with that. Because mostly what we tell our kids is that everything's supposed to be hard and you have to work twice as hard to get half as much. I'm never telling Gia that ever. Even if it's the truth, I'm not telling her that. Because I don't want her to really be, you know, put that in her head.
Right.
No, that's racism that tells us that. And I'm not, even though it's true, I'm not telling her that. Because she's not even going to need it because of the life that I'm building right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And so, like, let your kids rest, let them use a damn dishwasher, but also, you know, so there's three things before we, I don't know how long we have, but I tell parents all the time, what can you delegate? What can you outsource? And what can you say no to? A lot of us say yes to so many things and we're exhausted. Even with our kids, you can say, listen, if they're like, I want to play football this year, and you know, them playing football is going to take so much out of you. Talk about that. Have a discussion and really think about if this is something that you want to do, then there needs to be you might need to recruit some help. Like, start saying no to some of the engagements. Start taking more naps. Okay. Start resting more. Start cultivating the ease that you want in your life in whatever way possible. Because if you don't, when you then go to try to find that ease or tries to find you, you might resist it. You might, because you don't know what it feels like. Just be like, it's so uncomfortable just to sit. You know how long it took me just to be comfortable with doing nothing?
Actually, yeah.
Doing nothing. And now I'm just like, where's the more? I want more nothing. I literally just want to chill on my porch when I get one. I just want to chill on my porch and just watch
your
it.
Mama.
Your
mama.
Watch my little blast. Like, I just like the old people used to do back in the day. I want some good music. I want some friends talking shit. That's what I want. You know, yeah. I just want ease and I want time and I want to spend the rest of, I'm 43. You know, I don't want to be having this conversation in another 43 years.
Listen, I don't want to be having this conversation in another 5 years. Okay. That's why next 50, year's.
I'm
50 in 2 years.
Okay.
So that's why I said next year I'll be 49. Yep. And that's 2025.
I'm 49, where, bitch? Because, I mean, come on.
I'm just saying, girl.
I mean, the youthful glow, bitch. Okay, back to the subject at hand.
I appreciate that, but man, I may not look like that, but my body is like, you need to go and sit your ass down somewhere.
That's another thing that's the struggle for me is I know I'm about to get this land, and gardening is backbreaking work. Having land is hard, and my back has gone out on me a few times, and because of stress, I've gained weight, you know, all this stuff. I have to get my health in order. Like, I have to make my health more a priority before I get out there and I'm trying to lift something. Next thing you know, I'm on my back and can't get up. Falling, I can't get up. And I got this small child who doesn't eat. No. So I need to get my health in order. That to me is my biggest struggle right now. That. But we gonna work on that.
Yeah. This ain't gonna be your story a year from now, 2 years from now. This ain't gonna be your story.
This is not my story.
My story.
My song.
Yes, for sure. There were so many great takeaways in this conversation, Yolanda. First of all, I'm proud of you.
Thank you
for just being you and for recognizing, you know, change was necessary and for actually following through. You may not feel like it's always going the way that you want it to, but every imperfect action that we take, it just makes drastic results. You're doing good work, and I'm just very proud of you. And I'm excited for all the changes that you've already done, as well as the ones that are coming ahead for you in the future. I'm so thankful that we were able to have this conversation on such a broad and large topic, you know, on capitalism and just getting back to the simpleness of life and, you know, wanting the best for our kids and for ourselves and for Black women and community and things of that nature. Before we wrap up officially, is there anything else you want to add? Any final thoughts or anything along those lines?
I just want y'all to know that as much as we feel alone, that we are not. And I know a lot of us will be like, I don't have community. And I bet you do. It may not be what you think community is in your mind. Community doesn't mean friendship. You don't have to know people in order for them to be community members. But I also challenge you to ask yourself, are you a good one? Do you show up for people? And if you do, but you feel like people aren't showing up for you, you may want to investigate like who you're surrounding yourself with. You may need to make some changes, and you may need to start letting yourself be inconvenienced and letting people be inconvenienced for you. It's really important for us, especially as Black women, to know that we are held, that we have each other's back. I don't ever understand when people are just like, Black women, this, that, and the third. I have never had so much love in my life and so much like feeling like I don't feel lonely as a single person, because I have so many amazing connective relationships. Like, y'all are like my sisters. And so I just encourage you to find your people, because they are out there. And you got to be open, and you got to trust those people. So that's the journey, is really like opening your heart. And we know it's not easy. We know even in cultivating our relationship, how much trust had to happen on everybody's, like, for everybody in order to get where we are now. And it's work, but it is so worth it, because the amazing connections, like, I really don't know how I would be doing life right now without you guys.
Girlfriends, they're through thick and thin.
Listen, like, decenter romantic relationships, y'all, and really center like friendship, because that's where the true connection is. I'm not saying don't fall in love, calm down. I'm just saying, like, our the main narrative that we're always being fed from little girls is that we have to do this, get married, have a boyfriend, get married, you have a house and kids and everything else. And so many married women are lonely as hell, are stressed out as hell. Get you some girlfriends and form that inner circle, and I bet you your life will change.
Facts. Y'all, as we wrap up, one last thing I want to say is that Dr. Chris Marsh and I touched upon like singlehood and how it's not a dirty word. And every Black woman is not going to get married, and every Black woman doesn't need to get married. So that was maybe like two to four episodes ago. Sorry, I don't have the number, but I wanted to make sure that I mentioned that. If you want to hear a bit more about that from a sociologist's point of view, then make sure that you just go back and find that episode. Again, her name is Dr. Chris Marsh. That was an amazing episode as well. So now I can officially say that that's it for this week's episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. I want to thank my beautiful guest, Yolanda Williams. Make sure y'all go and support her, okay? Support her work, learn more. She has a plethora of information, and you'll just leave much better off than when you came. So make sure that you go to parentingdecolonized.com.
My newsletter.
Huh?
I was saying, sign up for my newsletter.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can learn how to support her. Yeah, as well. So that's it for this episode. Have a blessed week. And I cannot wait to connect with you again on the next episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. Take care.